We wish we could do more financial relationships.
So, good morning, everyone. I was going to start, Cindy gave me the perfect segue because she talked about how she got the really fun talk, so I did not get the fun talk. But it's okay because I think it'll be interesting anyway. As Cindy said, coverage of abortion was a loss for women in healthcare reform, and it was a real setback. And I'm going to talk about both what happened in the Affordable Care Act and also some of what's happening now, what's happened since then with insurance coverage of abortion, kind of what we're up against and how we're fighting it. So just to kind of set the context, before the Affordable Care Act, we had, for decades, anti-choice advocates had succeeded in getting Congress to impose restrictions that block access to abortion services by denying insurance coverage in public insurance programs. So, except for in a very narrow set of exceptional circumstances, women who had public health insurance were not were already blocked from getting coverage for their abortion care. And until recently, it did affect largely women who rely on insurance programs that are run by the federal government. So women enrolled in Medicaid, federal employees, women in the military, Peace Corps volunteers. Meanwhile, private insurance coverage for abortion care had actually been fairly strong. So the Guttmacher Institute did took a look at it and found that 87% of typical employer-based insurance policies in 2002 covered medically necessary or appropriate abortions without limiting it to those exceptional circumstances. And a Kaiser Family Foundation survey of employer health benefits found that 46% covered of workers who had coverage had coverage for abortion. But then came the Affordable Care Act. So it did a few things in terms of establishing restrictions on abortion coverage. First of all, it continued the existing restrictions. So women on Medicaid and those who will become eligible for Medicaid in 2014, which is a lot of, a big new group of women, will not be able to use their coverage for abortion services in most cases. And women who get care at community health centers still won't be able to get federally subsidized abortion services. In addition, the Affordable Care Act created a new program for women with pre-existing conditions to get insurance between now and 2014. And that program also restricted coverage for abortion, although the law didn't require it. The administration just decided to do that, maybe because they'd been experiencing some of the heel grinding that Cindy was talking about. And it also added restrictions that affect women with private insurance, and specifically said that no federal subsidies can be used toward abortion coverage in any private health insurance plans that are purchased through the insurance exchanges. So people who are getting their insurance through the new state exchanges, depending on their income, eligible for some subsidies, but those subsidies cannot be used to pay for abortion coverage. And to ensure that that is the case, Congress created rules for segregating those funds. And they said that health plans that cover abortion have to collect separate payments for the amount of the coverage that's attributable to abortion, which they realized could be a negative number, so they assigned a minimum number to it, and a separate payment for the amount attributable to all other health services. And they also said that health plans have to, in the exchange that cover abortion, have to maintain a plan for segregating the funds that could be subject to audit, so there's going to be some enforcement there. And then finally, as Cindy said, we were able to defeat the efforts to totally ban abortion coverage in the exchanges, but instead what Congress did was issue an explicit invitation to the states saying, if you would like to prohibit abortion coverage in your exchange, you may do that. So what happened? Well, as you might imagine, some states have taken up that invitation, and others have not. And what we see when we look at the states, which I'm going to do over the next couple of slides, is that the consequence of that invitation shows us what we kind of already knew about abortion politics in this country, and also about the politics of healthcare reform. The two are very closely linked in how they're playing out, and I think it lends some support to the argument that you've probably heard elsewhere at this conference, that a lot of the push on restrictions on abortion coverage right now is almost a distraction technique by people who just want to bring down healthcare reform overall. So no question, there are people who are committed, spend their lives trying to restrict access to abortion. But in addition, this is a fight that's now been taken up by the opponents of health reform, and they are trying to use it to undermine support for the law and undermine the effectiveness of the law. So we do have 11 states that have passed legislation to set up a state health insurance exchange, and none of them to date have included a ban on abortion coverage in that exchange. So these are the states, and this is a fact that we don't pay a lot of attention, I think we don't pay enough attention to, where abortion services and access to abortion are really under attack, and we've had some very serious losses. But the fact that all of the states that have started down that path of enacting a law to set up an exchange, none of them have included an abortion ban. That's something we can feel good about, and it's a path we can look to as people working in the states to say it can be done. 11 have done it. We need to make sure more do it. But there are 11 states that, while they have not managed to take even those initial steps to start down the path to implementing the Affordable Care Act, they haven't passed legislation to set up an exchange, but they have gotten their act together to say, if we ever were to set up an exchange in this state, it would not cover abortion. They've managed to get that done, and these are the states that have done that. In most cases, these bans are like the bans on public insurance that already existed, in the sense that they allow coverage for abortion only in those limited exceptions of when the pregnancy is a result of rape or incest or threatens the life of the mother. But in two of these states, Louisiana and Tennessee, they actually banned abortion coverage entirely. No exception. And then there's six states that were also on that list, but they get special mention because they said it wasn't enough to ban insurance in the exchange. They want to ban it totally. No private insurance coverage of abortion in this state, whether you're inside or outside the exchange. And as the Affordable Care Act moves forward, we hope moves forward, all 50 states and territories are going to face a decision about this. And Raising Women's Voices is working to help women's health advocates and allies bring their states to the right place for women, to end up with a woman-friendly health insurance exchange that does not include a ban on abortion. But the anti-choice advocates saw that they had some traction with this, that they were able to get somewhere they hadn't been before in terms of imposing restrictions on private insurance. So they are not resting on their laurels. They are building on it, and there is other federal legislation that picks up on that piece and that we're dealing with now. So H.R. 3, which, as the number indicates, was the third priority for the new House political leadership that came in with this Congress, is a bill that would put a blanket ban on all federal funding for abortion. It would impose new tax penalties that are designed to make coverage of abortion unavailable through private health insurance. And it would ban tax credits for businesses that provide health plans to their employees if those plans include abortion coverage. And that includes the new small business credit that was put in the Affordable Care Act to try to make it possible for small employers and people who work for them to get affordable health insurance. And that bill passed the House in May. It's pending in the Senate. It has 36 co-sponsors there. There's another bill, H.R. 358, which just passed the House last month and also pending in the Senate with 33 co-sponsors. And this one allows hospitals to refuse to provide emergency care even if a woman's life is in danger. It prohibits insurance coverage for abortion in the state exchanges, so that battle that we won back in the Affordable Care Act, it would turn that around. And I think importantly here, while we didn't support that compromise, we fought that compromise, this would undermine the law by undoing that compromise. So people who voted for the law saying, this is the compromise I can live with, would have that piece taken away from them. And even though it doesn't have to do with abortion, I just have to mention that H.R. 358 would also allow states to override the requirement that Cindy was talking about, that new insurance plans have to cover contraceptive care without a copay. So it's a very dangerous piece of legislation. In addition to working in the states, and we are also working to fight those bills, and I can't show you the video, but we worked with a group of very courageous women and doctors and actors to create a video that explains how dangerous it is to deny women this coverage and talks about the threat to women's health and urges people that if they want to safeguard women's health, they shouldn't ban abortion coverage. So this video, which you can see if you go to that URL up there, it tells the stories of real women whose health was seriously threatened by pregnancies that would have complicated medical conditions that they had. And these are cases where their doctors recommended against carrying pregnancies to term. And these women didn't have health insurance, so they were struggling to find a way to pay for the abortion care that they needed to protect their health. They came forward, their doctors came forward with these stories. To protect their confidentiality, what we did was work with actors. So the video actually shows actors telling the stories, but they're real stories that women experienced. And it's women just like the women featured in this video, who would be denied health insurance coverage for abortions to safeguard their health if the Congress were to pass these bills and if states were to deny that coverage. So this is a tool that we hope people will use to work to make sure that we get the best that we possibly can out of a health reform as the Affordable Care Act moves forward.